sins are scarlet. You were made as white as snow.
Father, thank you for this time to worship you, Lord. Father, thank you for everything you've done for us and that we can be here this morning, remember and reflect that you sent your Son to save us. And it is finished. It is done. We don't have to carry the burdens. We don't have to carry our past. Lord, you have rescued us. You have cared and mended our heart and brought us back to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead and keep your keep your eyes closed for a minute. Just kind of go with me for a second here. Just want you to kind of picture yourself kind of mountains surrounding. You're in a kind of a valley. It's warm. It's summer. And you're kind of sitting in a kind of a meadow. And you're just by yourself there, with your eyes closed. You can kind of feel the wind, and you can feel the sun. And the Lord walks up. Your eyes are still closed, and he sits down next to you. And you open your eyes and turn toward him, and you see his eyes looking back at you. What do you see in his eyes? They are welling up with tears because of indescribable love for you. Love that would go to the cross for you. Love that is committed to you having life as it was meant to be. Love that is bursting from his chest toward you. And then he puts his arms around you. Lord, your love for us drove you and drives you. We want to thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us before the creation of the world. Thank you for lavishing on us extraordinary love. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be the recipients of your love. And we, our invitation to you this morning, Lord, is bring everything that you intend for our hearts and you intend for us to understand about you and about this life you offer. Would you bring it today? Our invitation to you, Lord, is come for us. We want it all. We want all of you and all that we were meant to enjoy in you. And so we give you permission and access to speak to the deep places in our hearts. Can you do that? Can you just say, Jesus, okay. I give you permission. I give you access to me. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of years ago, I was driving out of my house, headed into my work day, and And I was asking God, would you let me see you? Would you let me see you? I'd been reading Exodus chapter 33. It's an amazing transformation that Moses goes through from chapter 3 in Exodus to 33. Chapter 3, God's about to kill him, and he's scared of God. By chapter 33 of Exodus, Moses wants nothing more than to see God. He's in love with God. And God says, I'll grant you one wish, whatever you want. And Moses said, I just want to see you. I want more of you. And so I was driving out of my driveway, and I was like, Lord, I want to see you. Right? These stories aren't exceptions. They're examples. So if Moses could see you, maybe I can. Would you let me see you? So I'm driving out of my driveway, and I'm, you know, about a quarter mile away from my house, and I drive by an old van. The guy, you know, kind of tattered-looking jeans and stuff, and he's buried under the hood, you know, of this van. And I'm driving, and I have that inner conflict happen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I should probably stop and help him. But I'm on my way to do important ministry things, you know, and I got to get to church and or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, so after the wrestle with that a few minutes, I I'm going to turn around. So I pull over, and I turn around, and I go back to this guy. And Robert, kind of long, scruffy hair, goatee, gentle, kind spirit. He's out of gas. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to head back home. I just live a quarter mile away. I'll get some gas, and I'll bring it back to you. And when I was home, I picked up a book called Beautiful Outlaw, which is a book about the life of Jesus and what Jesus is like. And I thought, well, maybe I'll hand this to Robert and see if, you know, kind of a way to kind of share Christ with him a little bit. And so I gave him the gas, and he was very thankful. And then I handed him the book. I said, I've got this book about, you know, it's called Beautiful Outlaw. It's really cool. You just want to, if you want it, you know. And he's like, well, what's it about? And I said, well, it's about Jesus. And then he said, well, let me tell you my experience with Jesus. And then he told me for the next half hour the most extraordinary story I may have ever heard. He told me how 10 years before he swerved out of the way of a car that came across his lane when he was on his motorcycle, hit a barrier, flew over, hit a concrete wall. They had to shock his heart 6 times. He died 6 times on the table before they got him stable. And he said, I went to heaven. And his face became like an angel. It was like there was this feeling in the conversation, like I was in the presence of God. It was really amazing. And it was interesting that I had just been praying, Lord, let me see you. And he told me all these stories about what heaven's like and what God looks like and all these different things. And I'm like riveted because it was sort of hard to explain, but sort of self-authenticating because it was, you had to be there to experience it. But this guy saw God and he had an experience with God. And he said, I just want to get back to heaven. He said, God told me that I had to go back. I had to tell people about Jesus. I had to go back. So it wasn't my time. And so he shared that, and he said, I used to chase skirts, and he said, I used to really want to make a lot of money. He said, none of that matters to me anymore. I'm like, you haven't gone on a date? He's like, I'm not interested. I just want to be with God again. I just want to be in heaven. I'm like, what about it? What about your experience so eclipses even romantic love? And he said, there is a love there that you can taste. It's just like it permeates everything. It's like this, it's like liquid love. And as he was saying it, I'm feeling it from him. I'm feeling like this, kind of like when we were teenagers, we used to go through the mall, you know, with our friends, and we'd always grab the perfume and spray it on, you know, and then run, you know, and really spray it on them, you know. So they'd chase you, and then they'd smell like that forever, right? And it was like, almost like a, you couldn't smell it, but if you could, it would be like you could smell perfume. Coming from this guy, there's this love. that is palpable that we only get glimpses of here. See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of lavish and extraordinary love. Can you think of any times where moments maybe where you felt overwhelmed by love? Just think back. Maybe when you dropped off your daughter at college for the first time and drove away. Or when a man knelt down on the ground and held up a ring and said, "Will you marry me?" Or maybe a time when your son, you know, graduated from high school and you saw him down there, you know, and he received some sort of award or some sort of honor. Maybe a time when somebody invested in your life and they really went out of their way and they really poured into you and they really fought for you, and then you just, it came crashing in one day. You looked at them and you're like, that person has really poured into me. And you just had this feeling of incredible love for them. Can you relate to that? Can you think of a time where you felt love for somebody, just almost painful level? Anybody experience it, that? Moments, glimpses, you know? Yeah, imagine that moment you felt of admiration or love being not just a place we go in and out of, you know, that we get glimpses of, but it's the norm. A love like that, but even thicker, so thick that it can be felt, you know, without even a word said. You can feel it from people. You ever been around people that you felt love from and they didn't say anything? They just radiated it. That's what the coming kingdom is like. You feel like you're swimming in love. That's what Robert wanted to get back to. That's what we only get glimpses of here on earth. But that's the norm in the kingdom. Because they truly see each other, and we don't. C.S. Lewis said that if the most ordinary person among us were to show up in their glorified state, we'd either be tempted to, worship them, right? Or we'd be terrified by them. I think we don't really see each other. There's a veil. Tell me what's wrong with this picture. What is wrong with this picture? Okay. Right? Okay. Put it in other words. Yeah. He's not in the environment he was designed for. How are we the polar bear? You were designed for a world where love is, like we're talking about, kingdom, lavish love, connection, where you see each other. You were designed for that world. That is not the world you find yourself in. And that is why you long for connection. That is why you long for these things. And that is why that's why some of you don't long for it. Because you've been hurt by that desire enough to kill it. So you've shut down desire for that kind of connection, that kind of love. You've relegated it to something that can't be had, really. And you know what I'm saying? And that's where, I don't know, maybe that's where most of us are. Okay? But you weren't made for that sort of bad transformation. In terms of love, You were made for a world where this kind of love exists. It's real connection, where connection is powerful and penetrating. We were made for love and unity that the Trinity enjoys and experiences all the time. What I want to talk to you about this morning is, in the early church, they had it. And they lived it. In the early church, they had it and they lived it. Let's look at this passage together. And they were all, Acts chapter 4, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind. Just imagine that. How many of you guys have been to church more than 10 years? Is it harder for you to imagine that line if you've been in church more than 10 years? How many of you have been in church 20 years or more? Okay. Is it really hard for you guys to imagine that line? Okay. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. And there were no needy persons among them. And from time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them. From time to time. So it sounds like this was going on for a while. Right? This isn't like from time to time 1 week. Okay? Those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money for the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Let's just take a look at a couple of the lines here. They're one in heart and mind. They shared everything they had. And there were no needy persons among them. Seems like they were experiencing something that Robert experienced in heaven. Have you ever tasted love like that in a church? You ever experienced that kind of thing in a church? People gather all over the world, right, for all kinds of different reasons. You know, there's company picnics, and there's political rallies, and there's tailgate parties, and, you know, we get excited about being together about football, and you know, the resort we stayed in Mexico a couple of weeks ago, they had a party every single night. But there's a difference from all of that and the kingdom culture we see here in Acts chapter 4, isn't there? At least there's supposed to be a difference. People don't consider any of their possessions their own. Sounds like a commune. And what is that? What feelings does that stir in you? Really? We're supposed to be a commune? Maybe we are. Maybe we are. I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of things that the enemy has done to make the incredible flavor of this lose its taste. But there's something going on here that we need to pay attention to. Because this isn't just in the book of Acts. Last week we talked about Zacchaeus, remember? Zacchaeus is this publican and Jesus loved him lavishly. He's had lunch with the guy, right? And remember him? What did he say? What happened after Zacchaeus encountered this kind of love? You see something like Acts chapter 4? Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the way the church is supposed to function in 1 Corinthians 12, right? He kind of goes through this whole treatment of the church and what it's supposed to look like and how people have different giftings and all these different things. Do you remember what he says to introduce the love chapter? chapter 13, most famous chapter in the Bible, right? First Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. Remember that? What does he say? Now I will show you the most excellent way. Let's look at the Son of Thunder, the Apostle John, right? When he's a young man, he's called the Son of Thunder. And that's not a derogatory thing. It's a good thing. He's all about bring it, man. He's like, bring the thunder, right? When he's an old man writing 1 John, what's the thunder he's bringing? My little children, what does he tell us? Love one another. Love one another. Right? It's interesting. Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How did he love us? What did his life... Okay, died for us. What else? He lived for us. What did that look like? Sacrificial. How much time did he spend? 2 weariness again and again. Right? He spent time with his father praying about what to do next. Who to pick for apostles. He prayed over us. He healed us. He pursued us, fought for us. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And according to this, what is his great plan for us reaching the world? By this, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. His great plan for the world to get reached is Acts chapter 4. For you to sell your property and take care of others with it. That his kind of love. Lavish, sacrificial, time invested, blood, sweat, and tears kind of love. And it is like heaven. Okay? I've tasted this a little bit. A few guys in the church and I, there was a young woman, had a rough childhood growing up, didn't have a family like many of us enjoy, with a healthy mom and dad who take care of their kids. And she grew up and her teeth were all crooked. And some of the guys here, we just kind of went, I don't like that. She needs to be fathered. Let's get her braces. Well, how much is that going to cost? $5,000. Who's in? 5 of us came up with the money. Got her braces. I'm not telling you that I lose my reward telling you that, okay? I'm not telling you to make you... I'm telling you to tell you this punchline. It was the most alive I felt in years doing that. It was the most joy I felt in years. Me and those guys... getting braces for this gal. Another person, their car broke down. My late wife, Deb, she's like, is there any way we can get them a car? I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? She's like, well, let's call a few people and see who's in. You know? Well, let's get them something decent. So she found a $6,000 van. And so a bunch of us put up some money. And who do you think tasted heaven more? The people who got the van or us? It was the most alive I felt in years. want to be? What kind of community could we be? If we did that, okay, in Acts 4, they lived like that, and it was like the world was like moths to a flame. That kind of lavish, unexpected, ridiculous love will draw a crowd. Because nobody does that. Who buys braces for a random person? It's unusual. Unusual love. I want more. I want more. We had a rehearsal dinner for our wedding a few Sundays ago. And Nick's dad, Ephraim Daldegan, said he would provide the food. And I'm like, okay, you know, I need the bill. You know, he's like, yeah, we'll talk about that later. You know, he cooked all weekend. Then he showed up Sunday night, cooked for us, right? They set this place up in here like a rehearsal. It was beautiful. And Amy Draper and her kids came and they served us and they went from table to table. Would you like more? You know, and they're feeding us this dinner. After it was all over and everybody left, Ephraim Daldegan and Amy Draper stayed till 11 and washed about 1,000 dishes. Lavish love. Lavish love. You guys look around how beautiful this place is for Christmas. There's a woman in our church who really about two or three people put in all the time to make this happen. All of the beautiful boxes out front, very few did it this year. Lavish love for you because they love you. Right? They didn't do it because of some church pressure or they love you. So they did this. Isn't that cool? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Lay down your life for one another. Okay, so I was praying about this week, and I'm going to read to you what's in my journal. I was asking the Lord, how does this work? I'm not really sure. I mean, I read these things, and I'm starting to realize this is bigger than a sermon once in a while on love. I think we may have missed some things with this. And so I'm just going to read to you. You can weigh this if you think it's from the Lord. But Lord, would you explain this to me? And this is just what I feel like he said. He said, I've given you each other as a gift, like placing you in an art gallery. Isn't that interesting? The point is loving each other. You have arrived at your destination. Each other is your destination. There's no endeavor that is better or more valuable than you loving each other. That's why getting braces for that gal and buying that vehicle was so fulfilling to you. Loving and serving each other actually puts into you the things that make you like me. Your fears of enabling others by helping them lavishly, and your fear of, and the way you relegate serving one another as a spiritual gift actually holds you back from the shaping of your souls that loving lavishly brings. Do you get that? Let me read that last part again. Your fear of enabling others by helping them or loving them lavishly and relegating serving one another to a specific spiritual gift holds you back from the shaping of your souls that loving lavishly brings. When Jesus prayed in John 17, right before he's about to give his life, he prays this, I have given them the glory that you gave me. So he's talking about you. That they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus' prayer is that we live differently. It's that we live fully alive. You want life to the full? Actually, loving will give you that. Loving lavishly, what would it be like? You know, what if we did that? Can you imagine this community? What if we did that? What if we loved lavishly? Let's dream about it a little bit. What would happen if we had something we were so filled by that we considered our resources not our own? What if we went out of our way to meet the needs of people around us, not once a year in sort of a pay it forward sort of church push, but what if we lived like that? What kind of community could we be? We're in a series on the Grinch, so let's look at the Who's for a minute, okay?
Thousand feet up, the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip top to dump it. The Who's, he was grinchily humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. He started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. Why? This sound sounded glad. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Parables. Now, the who's are a pretty good picture of the people of Acts 4. A group of people who had something that was filling them and translated directly into how they treated each other. And it couldn't be stolen. It was unshakable. That's life to the full. That's what makes you fully alive. It was so attractive, it melted Grinch's heart, which is the same in the book of Acts. People flocked to the church because they saw extraordinary love. What could we do? I don't want to throw a wet blanket on this, but it can be hard to hang on to. I mean, most churches and adventures included, you know, start out with, you know, that whole 80-20 principle? You ever heard of that? You know, 80% of the people are involved and loving and serving and doing 100% of the work, you know, and they're all dove in. But then inevitably, which, you know, in ventures early, when we first started 10 years ago, everybody was involved. Everybody was caring for each other and serving but slowly along the way, most churches, you know, moved to the 20% are really doing all the stuff and 80% aren't. Why do you think, what happens? What is that? Why does that always happen? Regular life? They move? People become disenchanted for different reasons? Easier to set back and let others do it? Busyness. In this culture, people get burned, right? We do. We aren't in heaven yet. So we are unfinished people. The book of Acts people, right? Chapter 4 is this incredible community. Chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira lie and die. Right? So we still wrestle with sin. Right? There's an enemy. But maybe it's enough to know what our target is. Maybe it's helpful to know what we could have. Maybe it's helpful to know what we could fight for. So my question this morning is, what kind of community do we want to be? I think we could be an Acts 4 community. I think in a lot of ways we are. But I think we could be in a lot more ways. With that, I want to transition. I want to introduce you to some exciting news to share with you about our new women's ministry. But first, a little background. If you're new, women's ministry has been a wonderful part of our church community for most of the life of our church. A women's team formed very early on in Adventure's history, and they treated their time like it was not their own. Those women who formed that team. And they put in countless hours of planning for facilitating women getting together. They found babysitters because all of them had kids to deal with. So they had to find babysitters just so they could meet every week and plan and prepare. And the women of Adventure came around them and they contributed. And all these gals were together and just invested. And the result was amazing. If some of you remember, they had studies and retreats, hearing God retreats. They had just facilitating a whole mentor program. The gals got together and were caring for one another. And at one point, we had over 90 ladies in this room on Tuesday nights. One of the studies was called Sex in the Suburbs. So they were talking about, to women about how do you live that whole area of life to the full in your marriage, and that was actually probably the largest study we ever put on, and a group of women rose up to cook food so that every Tuesday night these women would get together and have a meal together, and then they would meet in smaller groups and pray together, and women were caring for women, and it was amazing. It was just a taste of heaven. And that same thing was happening with the guys as well. But then, we've experienced some losses among the leaders of the women's ministry, and really gals, three gals, two in key leadership positions who lost their lives to cancer, and one being my late wife, Deb. Really heroes in the way they walked with God through their sickness and deepened their faith through those battles and demonstrated what does it look like to be a godly person who loves the Lord and go through this. And they were examples of that. But before my wife got sick, she shared concern with me that 80-20 principle was really happening in her experience in the women's ministry. Where there was like a tapering off of passion and involvement. And the guys were seeing it in the men's ministry as well. And just that, like, we had started to lose sight of this Acts 4 community that we can have and how it just really requires all of us to dive in and invest. After my wife passed away, she was the head of women's ministry. I kind of felt the pressure of we need to find somebody to fill that role. And so I asked somebody that I thought would do a great job at that. And she just very kindly prayed about it. And she said, no, I don't think I'm called to that. And then I realized it's like, okay, I need to ask the Lord about this. And I got this sense of I'm not supposed to find a women's ministry leader. God is supposed to raise up somebody. I will know when she comes to me and says, it's time for our women to rise up. And about a month ago, Kim Kobayashi said, can I talk with you? I said, sure. And she said, I have this strong sense from the Lord that it is time for our women to rise up again. Like almost word for word. And I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. And she shared with me a vision that she got from the Lord for women that sent shivers down my spine. So where are you, Kim? Come on up here. I've asked her to come and share about that. So come on up.
Well, see, we need a women's ministry. Somebody's got to get up here and cry. Randy didn't tell me that part about his prayer and what the Lord said to him until last night on the phone, and I started to cry because about the time he was praying those things was about the time that I'd just be driving along High Bridge Road, and this thought would pop into my mind, like, now's the time you should step into women's ministry. Now's the time. And I just, like, shoved that thought away. Far away, but it kept coming, and around the time of our 10th anniversary celebration, it's as though the Lord just kept poking me and began to peel back veils so that I could see things, and I'd find myself waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning crying for the women of the church. And what he showed me was when our women's ministry folded and we lost Debbie, you know, we ended with our women's retreat, I think it was in March, and it was fantastic. But then we were done. There wasn't any connector point for women, and we were just here, but isolated. And I began to see that it wasn't just that we didn't have a women's meeting on Tuesday nights anymore, but there was something happening in the spiritual realm within the church that we were down, we were grieving, we were hurt, but we weren't carrying the spiritual authority. We weren't holding up the sword. It's like the church is, it's kind of like this, and the men are carrying the burden without their, you know, comrade in arms. And what has happened is happened. There's no blame. I feel like everything is ordained by God. Everything that has happened, everything everybody has felt and experienced, it's for a reason, and God turns everything for his purpose. But when my eyes were open to see that there was a spiritual dynamic, I got like angry that this had happened, like, oh my gosh, you know, and then it was kind of that Esther moment where it's like, for such a time as this, you need to rise up. And I whispered that to Randy back at the back of church one Sunday, and he has that look. Did I do that good? Is there like a Kleenex? Because if we're going to have a women's ministry, we need lots of Kleenex too. All right. Thank you. One will be good. Okay. All right, good. The other nostril. And so we ended up having a conversation later that week where I shared with him what was on my heart and how I felt like we need to rise up, and it's time to bring unity and purpose and power and to walk in our identity, which is to rule and to reign. And I, as I was talking to him, or, you know, I just had this picture in my mind, like, poor Bambi in the thicket. After Bambi's mom has been shot, Bambi's laying there crying. And then, I don't know what his dad's name is. We'll call him Big Buck. He comes up, and what does he say? Get up, Bambi. Bambi, get up. And it's like, that is a picture. It's like, it's time to get up. And we may still be crying. It doesn't mean the bad things haven't happened and the losses aren't there and the grief, but it's time to rise up because it's the Holy Spirit that gives that hope and gives that power. And just like the Who's are singing on Christmas morning without the packages, without the ribbons, they're singing because there's a hope and there's a purpose and there's a higher call. And I've just been really, really encouraged, I mean, by the things Randy has shared with me. And we don't see all the workings going on with the lead team. They have been praying and caring about the women's ministry for months and months. And last Tuesday night, we had a prayer time here, and it was really powerful because it was a woman of the church who saw a vision of, you know, there's a demonic oppression and division that is seeking to come in. And, you know, with the isolation of that the women had felt after we didn't have any connector point, you know, things happen in your mind. And like Randy said, sometimes we don't see each other, we don't hear each other. And so when the lead team heard that, it was urgent enough that they called for fasting and prayer. And when we came together Tuesday night, it was a really powerful time. There were a lot of people here, and they prayed for the women, and we felt so much hope and affirmation and power in that. And my team is Patty Roddy. Lovely. There's Patty. Yay. And I don't see. And then Star Hansen and Celeste Dorn. You know, I was thinking we've got Star and Celeste. Jonathan said maybe I should be Nebula. And Patty, you got to pick a name. Woo! Okay. All right, Comedy Central. All right, here we go. So we have planned our first women's gathering, and that is called Christmas in the Heart. That's appropriate, huh? This little flyer in your bulletin. The scripture that I felt like the Lord gave me for that was, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Women, his light is on us, and it is time to rise up. We're going to come together. We're going to worship. We're going to share. We're going to laugh. We're going to eat. And we're going to talk about where are our hearts and how can we hang on to that hope and let it be our beacon. Tuesday night, December 16th, 6:30 to 8:30, right here. And another big thing that it's, I don't know if it's in the bulletins this week, but some of the gals felt, Lord said, yeah, just buy these tickets. Beth Moore, whom we all love, if you've done the studies, is coming to Seattle in February. And our church bought a chunk of 40 tickets. They haven't all been paid for, but as last time I heard, it was like 36 of them or something. 36 women have said, I want to go. When that check is in, then that ticket's yours. But real quick, the information in case it's not on our bulletin is Women's Ministry is going to see Beth Moore. We have 40 seats available, first come, first serve. Make your checks payable to Adventure Community Church. It's $69. It's Friday evening, February 20th, and until like around noon on Saturday the next day. So we'd like to go together, be part of that, and we're talking about when it's over on Saturday, gathering somewhere, whether it's here or someone's home, I don't know, but where we can just kind of marinate in what she said and talk about it instead of rushing home to the dishes. We'll come here, and then we'll go home to the dishes later. So thank you for all the encouragement that I've gotten. Thank you, Randy.
We want what God has in store for women's ministry, and so Kim's role is not to remake what it was. It's to follow God and what he wants it to be, so it's going to be new, and who knows, right? Be open to new. Okay? Super excited about that. Thank you, Kim. As Seth is coming up, I've asked him to come and just kind of close our time. And I think we've got a little slideshow that he's going to show us. But just want to ask you to think about your world right now. Think about the people in the church that you care about. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, it can be neighbors that don't know Christ yet, people in the church. We're called to love lavishly. What can you do this week that would be ridiculous? Love. Seth, why don't you come on up? What can you do that would be ridiculous love? Do it. Make a decision. Spend money. If you don't have money, spend time. That sounded wrong. Spend money and time. If you don't have money, spend time. love lavishly. I want this to become our theme, because really adventure is you fully alive. And you fully alive is loving lavishly. It's kingdom, right? This is the kingdom of God. Seth. Thank you.
Okay, so love can make you ridiculous, right? I was just thinking about 20 years ago, almost to the day, Beth and I, we were kind of in that last stages of dating, about to be engaged, and it was one of those late phone calls, you know, we're like over an hour and a half apart, and you know those conversations that are embarrassing to hear. And just you're ridiculous in love. You're like, no, I love you. No, I love you more. Like, you hang up first. No, I'm not hanging up. You hang up first. I'm like, oh, barf. We'd hold that. She's like, well, it'd be so much easier to go to sleep if I had a good night kiss. And I was like, well, tell you what, I'll be the first one to get off the phone this time. We got off. It's like 1 a.m. I go out to my car, drive an hour and a half, throw rocks at her window to wake her up, comes down, give her a goodnight kiss, and say I love you, and then drive back home. Right? The ridiculousness of being in love and just being fully alive. We saw that just on Friday night in this community. People, like, stepping out, just being ridiculous, loving this community. I heard from several people afterwards who said that adventure felt like the spirit of Duval. I was like, absolutely. Isn't that what God wants for this community? Like, that we were down there just stepping out, risking, loving. When I got home that night, Beth went, wow, I'm glad you had a really good time, because normally, Seth, you're pretty grumpy on, like, large group events. You're kind of the one who's like, can we just make an appearance? Okay, that was pretty good. All right, Beth, let's go. Come on. But I had my, like, silly little cardboard car, you know, walking around. And normally I would only be looking for people I know and saying, oh, hey, how's it going? But I talked to over 200 people that night, joking, people in the car. Yeah. But, like, this was everybody's. People seeing our band, the booth. We had over 100 children who came up to get their picture taken with the Grinch. Adventure community was out there, and people who were there were affected by us stepping out, just being fully alive. Being fully alive. And you could see, just looking at Papa in his long johns playing his leading the band, Love Makes You Ridiculous. Right, Randy? Give me an update on the move. Like, we are now 8 weeks away from where checks need to be cut, money needs to be stored. This has all been about us loving this community, us being fully alive and stepping out. And we believe that this new building, this new facility, is an essential component for us reaching this community. 5 weeks ago, we were kind of doing the push. We were sitting around $4,000 raised. We need $85,000. In the last month, we've gone from $4,000 to over $31,000 raised. We are now coming close to a major milestone, which is $40,000, which is that's when we have the funds necessary to secure the facility. We'll still need additional funds after that to equip it, but $40,000 major milestone. Say we are now within 8 weeks of needing those funds. So right now, I'm just bringing up saying it has just been amazing seeing what the community's already done, but this is now the time where we really need to step forward, step out, risk, love this community by how we want to serve, how we want to give. And so I can't wait to be up here standing to say, hey, we've just received the necessary funds from this community to secure that building. In addition to that, above that $40,000, we still have things where God has been showing up. His favor has been on this. We, in fact, a list of sound needs, Nick is and others are providing this week, which the city has come back and said, we will pay on Adventure's behalf. So above the $40,000, we already seen some of that additional $45,000 equipment needs. God has responded to us stepping out saying, I will match that. With that said, just want to say thank you so much for how you've been stepping out, how you've been coming alive and giving so far. But right now, let's step out one. Let's push that one step further. Let's be ridiculous in love.
Thanks, Seth. A couple quick announcements. We're going to take our offering in just a minute. So if you want to prepare that, once they get the slide show up, we can get moving on that. So a couple quick things going on. Seahawks Sunday. I know today is Seahawks Sunday, but next Sunday is Family Seahawks Sunday. So we're going to have this room turned into a Seahawks haven. So if you guys are Seahawks fans, next Sunday is this is a place to be. And invite your neighbors. Invite your friends. Let's fill this place with our community and enjoy that together. So Sunday right after church in the sanctuary, December 14. Christmas Eve service, choir opportunity. Nick has need of singers. So if you'd like to sing, if you enjoy singing, if you'd like to be a part of that Christmas Eve choir, talk to Nick after the service, and he can give you some more details on what that looks like. Christmas in the Heart, Kim talked about. Ladies, I would encourage you to be a part of that. Get back engaged with the women of this church. And I think God's going to move. He's going to move in incredible ways. And I'm excited to work with Kim in, I'm not going to be part of women's ministry, but being part of men's ministry, I'm looking forward to working with Kim as the counterpart she talked about. Anyway, that just didn't work. So needless to say, I'm just excited about women's ministry kicking off again. Great job, Kim. Let's take our offering real quick, and then we'll move forward. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing in this world. Lord, your love is pursuing your children, Lord, and that is absolutely evident. And you've called us to be a part of that, God. So I just thank you for empowering us through your Son, through your sacrifice, Lord. We just pray that you would use us in every way. Use our time, use our resources, use our money that you blessed us with, Lord, that we give back to you. Jesus, change this world through us and through you. And we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that we can be a part of bringing your kingdom into our community and the world. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so the guys are going to drop the bags off at the front. It's your job to get them to the back, and they'll pick them up there. Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds on the other side of town is a outreach to women who have had challenging life situations. So we're going to team up with them again this year. We have done this for the last several years. There's a giving tree in the back. It's going to look a little different this year. We can actually buy some counseling time for those ladies. The tags are $50 tags. You can put whatever amount in there. So that's for an hour of counseling time. If you'd like to just contribute, if you can only contribute half of that, go ahead and put that in there, and then you can maybe team up with somebody else to provide that full hour. So information's in the back on the tree. And we have an all-church work day, Saturday, December 13th. So how many of you have garden tools that you own? Come on. We all own garden tools. So next Saturday the 13th, we're going to join together here. We're going to make this place look great. We have a few things that we need to accomplish. If we all come together and do that, it'll be a really quick time, and we'll have a lot of fun together. So there may or may not be donuts, I heard, so we have that going for us. So put your order in early. So 9 a.m. next Saturday, we're gonna have that time together. Okay, Jeff and I were talking this week in our pastoral meeting. Who's going to do the underwear announcement? I drew the straw to do that. So I'm here. I'm doing the underwear drive announcement, and I thought, wow, how are we going to do that? That sounds a little, an underwear drive. What's the excitement in that? But then I heard what it was for. I heard that it is for these children in the Philippines that Fruit Bearers ministers to, and there are kids over there that don't have something as basic as underwear. And I thought, wow, that really gives me some perspective on my life, because some of the things that we worry about that we don't have really aren't needs or wants. But over there, it's a need, and it's a huge need. And as Randy was talking about Acts 4 today, it hit me, Acts 4:33, they constantly testified to the resurrection of Jesus, and grace filled them. And when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, when we keep our eyes focused on the sacrifice that he made for us, and we testify to that, our perspective on our world changes, and everything that's important to us changes because of that perspective. So if you want to be a part of that, I would encourage you to do that. Details are in your bulletin. There's a box in the back. You can drop those gifts off. Let's fill it and then some. Let's fill that box to overflowing and bless those kids. And then we're going to skip this right now. We're not going to pull it up right now, but take a look at our new website. We have a brand new website. looks great. It's caught up. It's no longer an 80s version or 90s version website. Looked like an 80s version. It was great in its day, but now we're caught up to a really great website. So take a look at it. It's got links that are easy to follow. You can find messages, resources, what's happening page, all kinds of good stuff. So look at that when you get a moment. And then newcomer class, Sunday the 14th. So if you're new to Adventure or newer or have questions about who we are, Jeff will be teaching that next Sunday at 9 a.m., and that'll be in the Fellowship Hall. And then finally, we are a little long today, so if you guys could just grab your kids, if you have kids in childcare, and thank those teachers. They've been in there for over an hour and a half with your kids. They do an incredible job in children's ministry. Our kids are blessed, and you're blessed by knowing that your kids are in a safe place that are being taught about the Lord. So give them a big thank you, and pick them up right after. And with that, have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.